Things we treasure. I hope you treasure this church. We talked this morning in our auditorium class about the importance of finding a church that worships God acceptably. And when you find one, treasure it. By acceptably, we mean one that not only worships in spirit, but worships in truth. Worships as God prescribes. Where the worshipers have the right attitude. They're not self-righteous, they're not hypocritical, but they're sincere worshipers. And because they're sincere worshipers, they want to worship God as He mandates. That's the kind of church to find. Treasure. There's a man we read about in the New Testament. One short verse is all we have about it. But he's walking in a field and finds some buried treasure. Finds some buried treasure, and it is so incredible and amazing and valuable and priceless that he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field. In Matthew chapter 13, we read about that great treasure that the man finds. And I hope you have your Bibles, as we'll be looking at them repeatedly this morning. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Of course, Matthew 13 is that great chapter in Matthew where Jesus gives many parables about the kingdom. About the kingdom. In Matthew 13, verse 44, Jesus says again, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Randy Alcorn states in his book, The Treasure Principle, "It envisions the joy of finding great and eternal treasure that far surpasses the cost to obtain it." When you look at Jesus' teachings, he over and over and over again illustrates his teachings by using money and possessions. Why do that? Because it's so much a part of our lives. Money and possessions. They are things we think about every day. They're just a part of our existence. So Jesus uses these common things that everybody understands and everybody knows to teach very valuable lessons. Because he sees our faith and our finances as being inseparable. You can't put faith over here in one cubbyhole and finances in another. Jesus says they must go together. They must go together. And so Jesus, over and over again, stresses the importance of that. Jesus' forerunner, John the Baptist, preached to the people about bearing the fruits of repentance. But do you know what, in all of those examples John the Baptist uses, do you know what John the Baptist stresses? He uses examples of money and possessions. Again, why? Because they're so a part of our lives. They're such a major part of our lives. In Luke chapter 3, we see John the Baptist, beginning in verse 11, "The people had just asked John the Baptist, 'What shall we do then?' He had been preaching about bearing the fruits of repentance. The people asked, 'What shall we do?' Verse 11, he answered and said to them, 'He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise.' Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than what's appointed for you.' Likewise the soldiers asked him, saying, 'And what shall we do?' So he said to them, 'Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages.' Each answer related to money and possessions. The question was not about money and possessions. The question was about repentance. What do I need to do to show the fruits of repentance? And in each of those three cases, what does John the Baptist use to illustrate? Money and possessions. He says, look at your money and possessions. If you want to see it, if you've really repented, look at your money and possessions. They will tell you if you have. Zacchaeus, we see his attitude toward money and possessions. And we see what kind of heart he had. Luke chapter 19. We all remember Zacchaeus. He was short of stature, so he had to climb up into a tree to see Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, verse 8, it says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And then, of course, Jesus responds, today salvation has come to this house. There was Zacchaeus' attitude about his money and possessions. He was careful to do what was right with them. Of course, there was another man that Jesus talked to that had the wrong attitude about his money and possessions. Sometimes we call him the rich young ruler. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus had a conversation with him. And it brought some things to light. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, the young man had just asked Jesus, I've done all these things. What do I still lack? What do I still need to do? Jesus responded in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This young man said, in essence, the price is too high. Yeah, what you have is valuable, but giving up my possessions, this ruler said, that's too high. The price is too high. I'm not going to give up everything I have to possess it. The man in our text, in Matthew 13, verse 44, had a vastly different attitude. This man gave up everything he owned to gain everything that mattered. There was the difference. This is what he owned, but this was what was important. So Jesus appeals to us to value heavenly treasure, not earthly treasure. Back, way back in Psalms 119, David, in that psalm that talks so much about God's Word, notice what he says in verse 162. Almost the very end of that long psalm, David says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Great treasure. When we find God's Word, we should consider it great treasure. Jesus taught so much about the importance of viewing one's money and possessions appropriately in light of eternity. In Matthew chapter 6, he talks about treasures on earth. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus explains here why spending all of our time storing up treasures on earth is not wise. Why? It's because earthly treasures don't last. He says that's why they don't last. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 23, he says about treasures, about earthly money and possessions, he says in verse 5, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. They fly away as if they have wings. I hate to tell you something, but each of us is going to lose all of our earthly possessions. I mean every single one of them. That's kind of sad news, especially to our society, but it's still the truth. Every single one of us, no exceptions, we'll lose everything we own because we're either going to lose them while we live or going to leave them when we die. One or the other. That's what Jesus says. So these things aren't in and of themselves bad, it's just they don't last. They don't last. In that same book, and I appreciate Dean Welcher for pointing it out to me, I don't know how many years ago it was, he gives a tremendous illustration of the right kind of treasure. The right kind of treasure. So imagine you're alive at the end of the Civil War. I don't know, maybe a couple of you were. But imagine you're alive at the end of the Civil War. You're living in the South, but you're really a Northerner. You plan to move home as soon as the war is over. Well, while you're in the South, you've accumulated lots of Confederate money. Lots and lots of Confederate money. Now, put yourself again back at that time, and suppose you know for a fact that the North's going to win, and that that win is going to come very soon. So you've got all this Confederate money, you know the North is going to win, and you know it's going to happen real soon. If you're smart, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with all that Confederate money? Well, if you're wise, and you're a good business person, what are you going to do? You're going to cash in your Confederate money for U.S. money. That's what you're going to do. That's the smart thing to do. Because it's the only money that's going to have any value once the war's over. So you're looking ahead and you see, well, this great big pile of Confederate money, the only thing it's going to be good for is to burn. That's all it's going to be good for. But right now, you have the opportunity to change or exchange that Confederate money for U.S. money. So the smart man does just exactly that. Because it's going to have value once the war's over. Now, as a Christian, you know Earth's currency will become worthless when Christ returns or when you die. It'll be worthless. All of that money will not be worth burning. That's Earth's currency. It's not going to be worth burning. It's going to be worthless. So what does Jesus tell us? Well, while you're alive, change currency. And so he says, right now, that money can be useful. It can be useful. So see it as something that has value, but use it so you can exchange it for heavenly currency. Because when you die, when it's over, when Christ returns, that heavenly currency, you can't exchange it anymore. Why? Because the earth and everything in it's going to be burned up, 2 Peter chapter 3. That's the idea. Exchange the currency while you can. Because there's coming a time when you can't. And the earthly money, the earthly currency, the earthly possessions will be worthless, will be valueless. So transfer funds from earth to heaven. And when we think about it like that, our investment strategy will greatly change. Greatly change. Because treasures in heaven have everlasting value. When we look at that, those three verses we read, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, we see some things that we need to pull out that are very relevant for us today. There's at least four. We could probably talk about many more. First thing we can gather from that is, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures. Now we think about in this life, someone who just thinks about themselves is greedy. But the point Jesus is making here is, I cannot lay up for you treasures in heaven. I can't do it. You can't lay up for me treasures in heaven. It's a personal responsibility. If there will be any treasures in heaven, it's because I laid them up myself. I'm not going to go to heaven on someone's coattail, in other words. I'm not going to go to heaven because someone sent treasures on up for me. I can't do it, neither can they. So he says, lay up for yourselves treasures. It's your responsibility. It's something you must do. We can't store it up for other people. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus teaches this lesson. And he uses a little different wording. Luke chapter 12, verse 33, he says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Be concerned about others while on earth. Give alms. Use your money wisely. Use what you have wisely. Because when you use it wisely, when you do what's right with it, you are sending it on up ahead. So again, I can't do a good deed for you. It's your responsibility. I have a responsibility and you do too. So you can't store up for others. Think about what you have and what good you can do with it while you can, while what you have has value. Because one day it won't, and no more opportunities will be there. The second thing is, these are treasures that are in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 reinforces this when he says in verse 29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Treasures in heaven. These things are going to last forever. Eternal life. That's why he wants us to have treasures in heaven. They will never go away. Back in Psalm 16, the psalmist there has a great, great thought for us. I love reading this, and I think you will too. Go back to Psalm 16 with me, and we're going to read verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. It should make all of our hearts glad. He says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. At God's right hand, it's what? Pleasures forevermore. Those are the real treasures. Those are the real things to look forward to. Right there by God's right hand. But it's all about preparing now, using what we have now, using our money now, using our possessions now to do good. One day, no more chances. The saying says, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead, is a biblical saying. It's a biblical principle. Going back once again to Psalms, in Psalms 49, the psalmist tells us this about our possession. Psalms 49, verses 16 and 17. Psalms 49, verses 16 and 17. The psalmist says, do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself, for men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. If that is all he does, is increase his riches for himself, then nothing good will come from it. Those will be destroyed. He's not sending them on ahead. The wise man Solomon, Proverbs 27, writes in verse 24, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. Riches are not forever. They're not forever. They don't last. They don't last. They're temporary. And earthly treasures cannot save. Some people seem in our world to believe that the more earthly treasures they have, that they have a chance because of them. Not so. In that same psalm, and I shouldn't let go, in Psalms 49 again, this time verse 6. Psalms 49 verse 6. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heel surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever. Riches cannot redeem. Riches cannot save. They simply don't have the power. So God says, why spend all your time on something that's eventually worthless and cannot save? The saying is, plan ahead. Plan ahead. We are tremendously blessed in this country. I mean tremendously blessed. And all that we have is going to be gone. So God is simply watching what we do with what we have. How do we view it? Do we just store it up for ourselves and forget about everybody else? Many do that. Maybe most do that. But that's not the Christian's perspective. Jesus says, don't spend your time and effort laying up for yourselves treasures on earth. Mice get in them. Insects get in them. Have you ever put something aside that you had gotten years ago and then you get it out and look at it and it just deteriorated to the point where there was nothing left? I remember talking to this Christian lady, this was a number of years ago, but when her and her husband had gotten married, they had gotten some towels. Well, she had put one set of towels aside, like in a closet, and then got them out about 20 years later, and there was nothing left of them. I mean, they were just practically destroyed. So she had to throw them away. Well, what good was keeping that towel? None whatsoever. Well, that's the point. That's the point. God has given us these things to use, but to use wisely. To use for others, to use for the kingdom, to use for good. Not to store up on earth, but to store up in heaven. So where are we placing our emphasis and where are we investing? Where are we investing? I don't have any idea where to go on Wall Street to invest. If someone asked me about the best company to put their money in, I wouldn't have a clue. I do know the best place is to send it to heaven. That's what God says. Send it to heaven. That's the best investment strategy. But when God looks at us, does He see us focusing on earth entirely or on heaven or in heaven? Now that Confederate money is soon going to be worthless. Someday it's going to be over. But we have an opportunity now to make the right decisions. Are we sending it on ahead? Jesus obviously thought that our view of money and possessions was a good indicator of where our faith was, where our trust was, and where's yours? Is it on earth or in heaven? This morning, these things should cause us to think about our relationship with God. Are we trusting His promises? Are we trusting on earth? This morning, if you need to respond to that wonderful invitation, don't put it off another minute. But we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song. Today,